My brothers and sisters, there is no mistaking the Apostle Matthew's intention when he writes about Joseph's response to the angel. So the angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream, and what does he say? Rise, take your child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And it says, Joseph rose, took his child and his mother and departed for Egypt. 4 years go by, the angel of the Lord comes to him again, and it says, rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. And it says, Joseph rose, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Now, little kids, second, third graders, learning how to write, what's one of the first things you teach them? Don't repeat yourself, right? Especially try to use different verbs, verified language. So Matthew, one of the evangelists, one of the greatest writers, why does he say the exact same thing? To show so clearly how utterly abandoned Joseph was to the will of God, that he wanted to do God's will perfectly. My brothers and sisters, when is someone virtuously obedient? Now, and just a reminder, obedience really is a virtue. Right, in the United States, right, we want to be independent, we want to do our virtuously obedient to the will of God. The sisters teach this so well to the school kids, and I remember the first time I heard it, they said there are three characteristics of the virtue of obedience. And when I heard it, I thought, wow, I got a ways to go. The first one, when a person is virtuously obedient, they are prompt to obey. Meaning they don't delay, they don't say, well, you know what, I'm going to do that tomorrow. Secondly, their obedience is complete. It's not, okay, you know what, I'm going to follow you in what you say there, but not there. Thirdly, and perhaps most difficultly, to be virtuously obedient, one is joyful to obey. Not, oh, really, Lord, I've got to do that. No, come on. Joseph wanted to do the will of God perfectly in all things. And what do we find in the life of his spouse, Mary? The exact same sentiment of heart. The very first time we encounter her, when the angel of the Lord comes to her to announce that she's going to give birth. Now, Mary was under no misconception. She did not believe, like many, that her son was going to reign upon an earthly throne. She knew that her son, as Isaiah had foretold, was going to be the suffering servant, that the Messiah would take upon himself the sins of the world. And so she therefore knew that if she was going to be his mother, she would suffer with her son. And how did she respond when she heard that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah? Let it be done to me according to your word. But there's something that we miss in the English translation. The original Greek, the verb was written in a particular tense, which expressed a joyful embrace always. So when the angel of the Lord said, you're going to bear a son, how did Our Lady respond? She says, let it be done unto me according to your word forever. What makes for a holy family? When father and mother both want to do the will of God in all things, not only for themselves, but in their marriage and in their family life. On May 16th, 2004, something unprecedented took place in the history of the church. For the first time ever, a husband was present for the canonization of his wife at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Pietro Mola was there for the canonization of his wife, Gianna Mola. I couldn't remember her name for a second. Gianna Mola was present for his own wife's canonization. And there are so many things that could be said about that event, but I just want to say one. He was interviewed, and he said this, and I'd never heard anybody say this before. They said, how did you find such a wife? And he said, I knew that she was a saint. He said, when I was a young man discerning marriage, and in my early 20s, I would pray to our Lord often, Lord, please send me a woman who will lead me to heaven. Send me a woman who will lead me to heaven. How many people in their criteria of what they look for in a spouse place that at the top? Now, normally people marry for good, noble reasons, right? He's a good man. He's virtuous. She's faithful. She's loving. I want her to be the mother of my children. He's a good provider. Sometimes less noble, right? He's got a lot of money. She's very attractive. But what ought to be at the top? This is the man, this is the woman who's going to help me get to heaven. And so rarely do you hear that. I mean, how many parents are teaching their kids that? When you're out looking for a spouse, this is what you should look for above all else. A couple of days ago, I celebrated a wedding. And something came to me preparing for the homily that I had not said in a homily before at a wedding celebration. It struck me that in the Catholic Church, we have 7 sacraments, and marriage is one of those. Every sacrament has a proximate end and a remote end. So what's the proximate end of baptism? To be born again, to be freed from original sin, to become a member of the church. What is the proximate end of the sacrament of confession? To have our sins forgiven. What is the remote end of every sacrament? It is eternal life. What is the proximate end of marriage? It's the union of spouses and the beginning of children. What is the remote end of marriage? It's heaven. Right? Why should 2 people come together? Because they want to journey towards salvation together and they believe that their spouse will help get them there. You are responsible, those of you who are married, are responsible to a certain degree for the salvation of your spouse. You are responsible for the salvation of your children. Right? Every decision you make for your kids, what music you're going to let them listen to, what movies will you allow them to watch, what television shows, who are you going to let them hang out with, what schools are they going to attend? The question asked within all of that should be, what is going to be the greatest thing for my child's salvation? How is this going to affect them on their road to heaven? And I close with this. A good buddy of mine, one of my best friends in the seminary, he was the youngest of 13 kids. He had a twin brother. He and his twin brother are both ordained Catholic priests. Never in my life have I met anyone who spoke more glowingly of his parents, both his mother and his father. And he shared with me one time, and there were tears in his eyes, and this is the guy who never cried. He said, when I got a little older, and I started becoming more interested in girls, he said, I remember my dad shared with me that on the day of his wedding, after the reception, before he and my mom shared the wedding bed, they knelt down and they consecrated their marriage to God through the intercession of Our Lady, and they prayed the rosary first. And I thought, what better thing to recommend to families, to married couples, for the sake of the sanctity of your marriage and family life, if you've never before consecrated your marriage to God through the intercession of Our Lady, I most highly recommend it. She was at the heart of the Holy Family. She should be at the heart of all families, so that her son remains at the center.